to talk LSU. And oh man, my voice is just failing me now.
Listen, I got
half an hour left, and I'm so done.
My wife gave me a pep talk yesterday. She said, "Don't drink too much because you lose your voice. You can't handle it anymore." So
how'd that work out?
Well, it's still here. It's still here for at least one more night. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'm joined right now by Mikey Matuk. Mikey, it's awesome to have you on here. We got a lot to talk about.
Just don't ask me politics. Dixon did that already.
No, Dixon covered the politics.
Yeah, perfect.
You're here to cover LSU from start to finish.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about what's the latest on from the Alumni Association on that front.
Talking about for baseball, talking about for football, talking about LSU in general.
In general, we'll focus on athletics in a little bit, but just in general for the university.
Yeah. So obviously NIL is the hot topic, right? It's the hot button topic, and it seems like the way NIL is moving, they're trying to regulate it, right? They're trying to put some rules and at least a structure in place. I don't know what that's going to look like. The first step of that's obviously revenue sharing, which in April I think is going to pass. And that allows now TAF is allowed to get in there and start donors giving points to donors and making it a little bit more organized. So that's happening. Obviously they're trying to spread the wealth around the other sports. College football, college sports, college baseball. It's no longer just a college sport; it's a big business.
Right.
Right. And it feels like they're trying to make those adjustments, which much needed.
They do. He says this spread like wildfire. And I don't know how to go back and no, I mean, it's not like I make a California pun, but
no,
like it's,
I got you.
But you see in real life how hard it is to contain once the cat's out of the bag. So how hard is it going to be to contain NIL or to reel it back in without going back to, okay, we're going to land in a spot where we have this controlled NIL and then all the under the table stuff starts to come back in?
Well, I don't think you can ever stop the under the table stuff because, I mean, even before NIL, under the table stuff was happening around the country, right? So I think what you do is you have a structure in place and understand that there's probably going to be some sort of attempt at those under the table dealings and have, you had the compliance office originally and now you say, hey, we're going to have to try to regulate that as much as possible. You're not going to be able to stop it.
Right.
Right. I think the revenue sharing is important. I think that NIL, how it was intended, I agree with.
Yeah.
How it's being done, I don't agree with as far as the pay-for-play stuff. I believe if you go out there and you play well and you want to make money on your name and they want to promote you, I think that's very fair.
Right.
Right. You go out there and you make money, you work hard, you generate some income for the school based off your performance, you should get compensated for that.
Yes.
But giving $12 million or $15 million over 4 years to a high school kid who you don't know if he's going to be good or not, and I understand that's the way it works. It's just in my mind, it's just a little hard for me to fathom.
We're talking with Mikey Matuk about we're focusing on NIL right now. We're going to broaden out to a couple of other things in just a little bit. But it's hard not to talk about NIL because that's where everything is revolving around right now, is trying to get our feet underneath us in where this world is going. And, you mentioned paying like one player $12 million or something like that. The other side of this is like we don't have a real – well – we're getting to where we have more of a free agency period.
Yep.
But we don't have any control over where someone – we have control over when they can leave.
Right.
But not when they bail.
Well, the problem is you have free agency every year.
Right.
Right? So in the NFL, you have a certain amount of time to get to free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on a contract. You have – this is what you signed – this is what you signed up for. This is what you have to do.
Right.
And you do that up until you earn the right to become a free agent and you use the market – based off of your performance to be able to go and get compensated for that. Right now, you come to LSU, I pay you to come to LSU for a year, and you're not happy, you get paid for that year. I'm going to go somewhere else, and then I'm going to get free agent this year, free agent next year. I mean, you have kids transferring four times in 4 years.
Right, right. And when they transfer is a big – well, when they're allowed to transfer is set. When they say, I'm done playing because I'm going to enter the portal, that's a whole other thing.
Yep.
And I don't know how to – get that under wraps.
Yeah, I don't understand. I think that there's got to be, I think honestly, Nick Saban should be the commissioner of college football. I think that would be a good thing. I think that's what they're going to have to do, right? Like whether it's him or somebody else, the NCAA and the way they're running it, is not the way. It needs to be. There needs to be a whole nother entity, a whole nother group of people controlling, or not really controlling, but monitoring and regulating how NIL, how transfer portal stuff works, because having guys being able to go in the portal every year is not the right way, and I think a lot of coaches would agree with that.
I just want to go back to the part where you said put Nick Saban in charge. That is unbelievably brilliant.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I mean, it's been – I'm not the only one saying that. I wish it was my idea. I think it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, it
does. I mean,
does.
You had McAfee and the crew on game day pushing him doing all year to go because he's been great.
Yeah.
Nick Saban has been great on college game day on TV and on radio and whatever he's doing. And so he's got a very good understanding – of how football works. Obviously, he is super, super successful, but also understands that he's not the, hey, get off my lawn guy. I understand there needs to be change.
Right.
But there needs to be change in a sustainable way.
Right.
No professional sport is modeled the way college sports is modeled right now.
Wait, who is going to have that level of love for both the players and the game?
Right, exactly.
Both the players and the game. He wants to protect both because that's who he's been his entire career. That is a brilliant.
James Franklin was pushing forward on the interview before the before the quarterfinal game.
Oh.
You know, he mentioned it. He said, let me know when you're going to be the commissioner because that's, you know, you should be.
That's so good.
Yeah.
We're talking with Mikey Mottook for a couple more minutes here. Broadcasting live from Washington Mardi Gras, of course, our coverage presented by Baton Rouge Metro Airport, presented by Rev, presented by Presley Wealth Management, and Restore the Mississippi River Delta. Mikey, let's move from football to those down-ballot sports, the Olympic sports. How do we keep those viable through NIL?
So that's going to be the tricky part, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, they're trying to part of that revenue sharing deal that they're going to have is you're going to have an allotment of money to go to certain sports. And my fear is some of these smaller sports are going to kind of get lost in the shuffle and not be able to get funded.
Yeah.
And so that's a shame because, you know, when I was in school and I had a lot of friends that were, you know, on the swimming and diving team and that were, you know, on the soccer teams or tennis teams or whatever they were. And those sports don't make money for the school. Right, but they're necessary because you're bringing in students, you're bringing in international students to come to school, come to LSU, and you're giving these athletes an opportunity to get a higher education and be part of a community in LSU, which anybody that comes in here will tell you that it's one of the better places to be as far as community goes and culture, and everybody just kind of gravitates towards LSU. So my fear is that if they don't do something, or some of those sports are going to kind of go by the wayside.
I worry about that, but I worry about it all the way up to at LSU. At LSU, it can go as high as basketball.
Yeah.
I think football will always be taken care of. I think LSU fan base will take care of baseball as well. We've never been as invested in basketball as we should be, and we're seeing around the Southeastern Conference right now where we've got good investment in basketball right now, but we're still being outpaced by the rest of the conference.
Right.
So you talk about swimming and diving, you talk about track and field, you talk about cross country, whatever the case might be. You look that far down, it could go that far up as well.
So I agree, and I think that what the SEC is doing in basketball is going to be similar to what they did in football, right? SEC and football kind of separated themselves as the premier conference, and so everybody else in the conference had to elevate their game to keep up with that, right? They understood, hey, there's a spotlight on us. We're really good. We have an opportunity to attract a lot of athletes because they want to be in the SEC. Now everybody can go to Alabama or LSU or somewhere else. And so what it did was it elevated all the other teams, and I think basketball is going to have the same effect. You're seeing it right now a little bit in LSU. Matt McMahon, who I'm a fan of,
same.
I think he's a great basketball coach. I think he's great X's and O's. I think he's starting to understand what he needs to do to go and raise the NIL money. And that's evident by his recruiting class coming in next year. It's a top three recruiting class in the country. He's bringing in talent. Basketball is one of the few sports that you can flip your team around in 1 year based off of a recruit, based off one, two players. And so I think you're seeing NIL and you're seeing the SEC, how talented it is, elevate some of these other schools.
Do we have the pockets to keep up with this in the state?
And that's the other thing. That's the other – as it stands now, no.
No. Yeah.
I think we have enough to be competitive, and I think that there's going to have to be, I know Brian Kelly's talked about it a lot, there's going to have to be a conversation about, hey, do you think this is the best place for you to develop on top of the money that we're able to get you? Is it all about the paycheck or the dollar signs, or is it about, hey, you're going to get a little bit of money, and then you're going to have the ability to get to the next level? So as it stands now, I don't think that we have the ability to, we definitely don't have the ability to compete with A&M's and the Texases and all these people at Arkansas who has all this money coming in, and, you know, Phil Knight at Oregon dropping all this money. We don't have that. That's not sustainable. I don't think that's sustainable for a lot of schools around the country.
Right.
But with the revenue sharing and the way they're trying to structure it, I think it is. I think you can keep up with it. I think that, you know, especially in those smaller sports like basketball. I say smaller, but basketball, they don't have as many players. You can go and you can be strategic about how much money you spend on how many players you spend it on.
Yeah, yeah. But then you get into this, like, how deep do you want the roster? You're going for, like, scrubs and studs.
Yep.
You know,
it's
like, well, let's go get two studs and everybody else just whoever wants to play for LSU, you know, you have the drop-off there. You got a couple more minutes for me?
Whatever you want.
Okay,
I'm going to
keep you for about five more minutes.
That's fine. You can keep me on for as long as you want.
Cool. Going back to some of the other sports here, how much does Livy Dunn throw off the NIL game for a sport like gymnastics?
So,
she is so unique.
Very unique because her value, she's a very good gymnast.
Yeah.
Right? And I've gotten to know Livy, and she's a great girl. And, you know, obviously I've become friends with Paul, and they're great.
Yeah.
And she's taken advantage of her popularity, her modeling career with Viore and all these other sponsors. But she's unique in the sense that she was getting this because of the influencer that she was coming into LSU.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she was a gymnast helped, but it wasn't getting paid based off of her performing
on the
beam or whatever she's doing. It was, hey, I'm a good steward of LSU. I am popular because of my social media following. I'm carrying myself the right way, and she's getting some of these endorsement deals because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's just a very unique case in the NIL, which it's good for LSU because you can lean on that.
Yeah, yeah, but it is great for LSU because she gets to be a recruiting tool.
Right.
When hopes, dreams, and aspirations of gymnasts saying, I want to make NIL dollars the same way she does, they have to understand that it's not just the gymnastics here. This is so much bigger than that.
Well, majority of her money is not getting paid by LSU.
Right.
Right? It's getting paid by national sponsors and all these big companies. And so that's where the uniqueness comes in play, right? A lot of these other guys and other athletes, hey, we're going to give you some NIL money from the school or from the collective or whatever it is. And that's where a lot of their money is coming from. Her, on the other hand, is coming from a lot of national sponsors. Angel Reese was the same way.
Yeah.
Right? She was getting a lot of money from sponsors outside of LSU, which LSU is facilitating that. They're helping these athletes be able to get those endorsement deals, not necessarily through LSU.
I've got a couple of minutes left with Mikey Matzok. We're going to pivot the conversation entirely. All right? For the Talk 107.3 audience who hadn't been keeping up with you lately, what are you up to?
Yeah, so I am in the real world now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the commercial insurance world.
Okay.
I am a partner in a commercial insurance company here in Baton Rouge, or down in Baton Rouge, Perkins McKenzie.
Okay.
I've been doing it for about, it feels like 10 years now, but it's been not even, almost three.
Yeah.
It was the first thing I did after I was done playing. You know, I played for a really long time, had a very fortunate career. I felt like I had a lot left in the tank.
Yeah.
And didn't want to play. Didn't want to end it. It wasn't my decision. Sometimes the phone just doesn't ring anymore, and you got to figure out where you want to go and what you want to do. And, you know, I had a mentor of mine, a family friend of mine that was in this industry, and he brought me along. He gave me an opportunity, and he kind of showed me the ropes and learned a lot from him. And then I had an opportunity to become a partner in this insurance agency in Baton Rouge. And so it's been really good for me. A lot of the same things you do in sports, right, training and the stuff that you learn through playing sports, it's directly correlates to business.
Repetitions, man. Repetitions.
Absolutely. And then work ethic and understanding, communication, understanding what a team looks like. And so I'm trying to take those characteristics and those lessons that I've learned and apply it to my business acumen and see what happens. It's been good so far, and a lot of work to do. It never ends.
What's your mission here at Washington Mardi Gras? Everybody comes up here with a purpose. They know what they want to do. What's your mission here?
So for me, you know, look, my cousins up in North Louisiana, they've been coming here. My uncle's been coming here for 39 years.
Okay.
So he's in the crew, and they do it every year, and it's something that he has told me about for a long time. Hey, you need to come to Washington Mardi Gras. Great networking. It's great people to meet. And I've never been able to do it because baseball was always right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I never wanted to get stuck here, do something, and not be able to leave in time for spring training or miss workouts or do any of that. So once I was done playing and I kind of got settled in the career that I was in, I said, I'm going to come out this year and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to go out there. And there's a lot of people from Lafayette, from Baton Rouge, from Louisiana, obviously. And you know, I wanted to be, get my name out there, let everybody know what I'm doing. They see me as the athlete.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to me than that. And so, you know, having these conversations. Oh, what are you doing now? Oh, right. I'm doing this. Oh, I didn't know that. Tell me what y'all do. Those types of things, getting my name out there, representing the company that I'm with, and, you know, trying to make some connections and as many contacts as I can.
That's this is the place for it.
That's
though,
it. That's what I've heard.
Did it live up to the hype?
It is. It's living up to it as we speak. Obviously, unique year because of the weather.
You rolled with Dixon up to Alexandria?
He drove me.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, Dixon drove me up in the minivan. You know, I fell asleep, too. It was great. He and his wife were in the front, and I was sleeping in the back. It was amazing.
Oh, so good.
It was amazing. And then, but it, honestly, crazy thing about it is it was I got refunded on my old flight.
Okay.
And I gave up, and my uncle was like, no, there's a flight out of Ellic. We're going to rent some cars. So I took a one-way from Ellic to D.C.
Yep.
And then I have a one-way back tomorrow from D.C. to Baton Rouge. And it was $300 cheaper, so.
See, flying BTR.
It worked out
we get to the second to last segment of the whole show. Finally got somebody flying BTR at Baton Rouge Metro Airport sponsoring the whole broadcast. So glad to get that. I love Baton Rouge Airport.
Yeah, it's great.
We have a fantastic
Easy
airport.
To get in and out.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of redoing it.
The best way to sell Baton Rouge's airport is to go to another airport.
Yep.
You'll learn. You appreciate what you have once you see how much everybody else sucks.
And the beauty of this, right, the better, you know, all of the changes they're trying to make, we're going to get a little politics. All the changes they're trying to make in Louisiana, all the business they're trying to bring in, all that's going to do is help travel, right?
Yeah.
Because the more people you attract, the more flights you get out, the more direct flights you may have out of Baton Rouge because, hey, you may be going to D.C. more, you may be going different areas. And so, you know, I think that's obviously going to help too.
You heading down to the LSU suite?
I'm going to be up there in a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to make the rounds. All right. You know, maybe try to take a little nap before.
Sage advice from Mikey Matzek. I appreciate you hopping on
board. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a million. Yep.